Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to be with you this morning on this almost like spring day. We're not going to hold our breath because we know this is Michigan, so we won't get too excited, but we'll enjoy it while it's here. Warm welcome to all of our people online as well this morning as we gather for worship at Brighton First. It is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God, and we do that in a variety of ways, and there are ways to get involved. Lots of announcements in your bulletin that you were handed on the way in. Inside that bulletin was a connection card for you to fill out. Let us know you're here. Let us know how we can get you connected and to what it is you're interested in. And if you don't see something on there that interests you, then doggone it, let us know, and we'll get that going as well. So we are always open to new ministries and new ways to serve God. We also have prayer cards in the pew backs. Those are bright yellow. This is a praying congregation, and so if you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take a moment and fill out one of the prayer cards, and they will get to our prayer team ministry people. This morning in worship, we have Bruce Stark and Sally Dick helping us with worship this morning. Bill Kenny is here filling in for Susan while she's away on vacation. We're going to have some great music today. I have a few announcements. Oh, Sunday school. Almost forgot. I don't see any little kids, so maybe they're already there. But if you're on your way to Sunday school, good job. Teachers are there waiting for you. We have three announcements this morning. The first is about the men's retreat. This is for all men are invited to enjoy fellowship, devotions, and an opportunity to help open the camp at Lake Louise for the upcoming camp year. Yep, there's a little work involved in this one, guys, but it'll be well worth it. So please look for that information on how to register for that. Join Pastor John and a group of fabulous men. Our mission at the Whitmore Lake Church, Whitmore Lake Campus, is Easter baskets, food baskets for Easter. There are opportunities for picking up the food, packing the baskets, delivering the baskets. However you or your family would like to be involved, this is a great opportunity to reach out to our local community and let them know that we care. Also coming up soon on March 16th is the Easter egg hunt. We are still in need of donations for candy. 2,000 eggs is a lot to fill, so if you would like to help with that, please bring in wrapped, no nuts, and something else. No homemade things. So store-bought donations wrapped up to go in those eggs. And if you are interested in wanting to help fill those eggs, please contact Allison. I know many hands will make for light work, and 2,000 eggs is a lot of eggs to fill. Those are my announcements for this morning, and so I would ask you to please rise and join in our opening hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Thank you.
Please join me in opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the witnesses who saw you resurrected, and thank you for the disciples who were imperfect like us. Give us faith to believe in what we cannot see and to be witnesses for you in our world today. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. John 20, 24 through 29. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Sarah, for reading the gospel lesson for us this morning. Church, it is wonderful to be with you in worship this morning. My name is Lindsay Hall, and I'm one of the clergy that serves our congregation. So a warm welcome to you if you are a visitor or if you're new to our church. I'm so glad that you're here today. We're really a congregation that wants to know God and love God and serve God. And so we're just thrilled to be here, and we just hope that you'll stay for some hospitality and fellowship afterwards. And myself and Deacon Loretta and Pastor John, we would love to connect with you and get to know you better. Well, as we turn to this gospel lesson this morning, I would invite you first to share with a word of prayer with me. Won't you pray? Oh, loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship, this space to gather, this place to praise, this place to come and to share our doubts and our uncertainties and wrestles with the unknown. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come and fill this room with your love and your grace, that we might feel your presence, that we might be filled and renewed and go forth from this place of worship with new strength and new hope and new vision. Oh, Lord, as we hear this scripture lesson this morning, may you speak to us. May there be something in it for us to take away, something to glean, that it would speak to our lives and that we might live it out into the world. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, oh, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock, you who are our Redeemer, and the one who calls us your beautiful children of God. We pray all these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So the past few weeks in worship, I guess the past 2 weeks in worship, we have been doing a sermon series called Encountering Christ, and it is based on Tom Berlin's book, The Third Day. It's a six-week series. There's some classes going on, and Tom Berlin is a United Methodist bishop. He's serving in the Florida Conference. He's an elder and ordained, and he's serving as a bishop in this conference, in the Florida Conference, and we've been looking at this book, the different ways a number of disciples, a number of biblical characters met Jesus before he was crucified on the cross, met the historical Jesus, and their life was impacted. And then upon his death and his resurrection and encountering the living Christ, their lives were then blown away even further and impacted in a significant way. We've met characters like Mary Magdalene. We remember Mary Magdalene. She was a woman who the scripture tells us that she wrestled with seven demons, and perhaps we can interpret that to mean maybe she had some physical or emotional or mental health concerns. And when she met Jesus, her life was forever changed. She became a faithful follower. She became amongst the great band of disciples, not just the 12 men that we know, but there were women along in that ministry, and she joined, and she was one of the faithful women that helped fund the ministry of Jesus and followed for three years amongst those 12 that were named. Mary Magdalene is a biblical character we know that stayed by Jesus' side at the time of the crucifixion. That time when Jesus was experienced capital punishment, death on that cross, the way the Romans crucified people, that was their form of, at that time, modern day capital punishment, and Jesus was put to death on the cross, and there was Mary. He was crucified for being a giver of extravagant love and grace, for someone that welcomed the widow, the outcast, the poor, the marginalized, the child. And Jesus was put to death on the cross for loving the world too much, I suppose. And speaking of the kingdom of God. And so there was Jesus breathing his last breath with his hands there and his side pierced. And Mary Magdalene was one of the disciples there. Well, we know that as the Sabbath was quickly starting there on Friday, then his body was quickly taken down from the cross, and there weren't time for proper preparations. But then on Sunday morning, what we would then come to discover is Easter morning, we discovered that Mary Magdalene went to go pay proper, you know, to help with the anointing of the body and see a proper burial take place. And as she goes to the tomb, she discovers something amazing took place. She encountered the living Christ. She runs and she tells and she spreads the word. She becomes a great evangelist, and Mary's life is changed. And Jesus continues to then show himself to the disciples. Well, as we heard in the scripture lesson this morning, I want to hear this just a little bit, back up just a little bit more in the story. We're going to hear again, Jesus appeared not only to Mary Magdalene and the women, but he appeared to the disciples. And so picking it up from verse 19 from John's gospel, chapter 20, picking up at verse 19, I want to hear just a little bit more of the story. He appears to Mary Magdalene and he appears to more of the disciples. The word of God says, when it was evening on that first day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." And after he had said this, he showed them his hands, his side. And when the disciples then may rejoice in that they had seen the Lord, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Here's the part of the story that continues on. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, This is where we heard before. Now this is going to sound really familiar. But Thomas, one of the 12, he was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my fingers in the marks of the nails and my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came to them and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and reach out and put your hands here in my side, and do not doubt but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to them, "Blessed are you because you believed because you have seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Oh, the story of doubting Thomas. He is such a great biblical character. I love doubting Thomas. He gets this nickname. I love Thomas. Mary Magdalene is a fantastic biblical character, but I love Thomas because he's somebody that we can probably relate to. He gets this nickname over the years. I don't know how it came, but he gets this nickname of doubting Thomas. He just wasn't in the upper room when the disciples were gathering, when they were hiding out, and Jesus first appears. And so he's like, "How can this be?" Typically when people pass, they pass. They don't come back and reappear to their friends. And he's questioning, he's struggling, and he's having this moment of uncertainty. But I love Thomas because he's willing to be real and honest and vulnerable about what it is he believes and why. You know, crew, Jesus died. How realistic is it that he actually came back to life? That's a great idea, but is that real? And Thomas sometimes get this, we sometimes chastise Thomas, we give him a hard time for stepping up and owning what he believes and saying, "How could this possibly be?" But when I've been thinking about it, as I've been thinking about Thomas's, the perspective from which he comes, I see Thomas as being highly rooted in the Wesleyan tradition. I see Thomas as a good old Methodist. You guys remember something about called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral? I have seen a few heads nod. The Wesleyan Quadrilateral, it was coined by Albert Outler, I think back in the 60s, if I'm remembering some of my history right. Pastor John's teaching on the Wesleyan Quadrilateral with the confirmands at 11. It's like back in the 60s, Albert Outler. And it's this concept that, of course, Scripture is primary. When we're trying to form our theological understanding, when we're trying to make sense of the world around us, we turn to Scripture as our key leg to stand on. But as people of faith, it's not just Scripture that's important. We also look to our reason, our God-given intellect, the mind that we've been beautifully created with. We look to our reason. We look to tradition, looking to see what are the traditions of the church, what have they thought theologically or made to understand a concept or a situation in the world, our reason and our tradition, but also looking to our own real life experience and saying that's valid and that's important. And so as I think about Thomas, he was looking at his reason and experience and his tradition, and he's struggling to say, "I'm not quite so sure that Jesus has resurrected." I think he's leaning into this Wesleyan understanding and turning to reason, experience, Scripture, right, tradition to try to make sense of the world around him. And he's struggling and he's doubting. A week later, Jesus comes and he has this opportunity to meet Jesus face to face, to touch his hands, to feel his side. And he has an opportunity to encounter Christ in his moment of vulnerability, in his moment of uncertainty, in naming of his fears, and saying he's just really struggling right now. So how many of us can relate to Thomas? I was visiting with a friend last week, having a good long conversation, and they were saying, you know, Lindsay, you've known me my whole life, right? We're dear friends that go back, but I'm just struggling with some things right now. I'm not quite sure where God is leading me or what God is intending for me in my life right now. And, you know, you're a pastor too, right? Do you struggle? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's times in our lives when we doubt and we wonder and we're trying to like make our way through the hazy grayness of life when we're just not quite seeing clearly, and we might struggle and we might wrestle. And in those moments, I think we can relate to Thomas. But the beautiful thing is in naming our fears or naming our wrestlings or naming our doubts or wondering, God, what path am I on, or what's all this about? The beautiful thing is that we encounter Christ even in our moments of doubt, even in our moments of uncertainty. It's not just the moments of like having clear, buoyant, like faith and conviction that we can encounter Jesus Christ, but it's in our moments of a little bit confusion or doubt that he is there. I don't think doubting is such a bad thing. Doubting means that we're wrestling with something. Doubting means that we're on a journey. Doubting means is that we're really leaning in and asking hard questions and wondering and seeking. And so if that's where you're at right now in life, if you're wrestling, if you're doubting, if there's uncertainty in your heart and mind, stick with it. You're on a journey of faith. And may you be blessed to encounter Christ in those moments of doubt as well, and discover other disciples on the journey there with you. Let's pray. Oh, good and gracious God, we're honest that sometimes we doubt and we have uncertainties in life and we just can't quite make sense of it all. Help us to know that you're there in the doubt. Relieve any shame or whatnot that gets ascribed to those questions and wonderings, and help us to have security in knowing that you're always there. Like Thomas, he asked good questions. Help us to ask good questions as well, not just to take the faith blindly, but to lean in and to use our reason, our scripture, our tradition, and our own intellect, reason, scripture, tradition, and lean into all that you might have for us. God of grace, God of wonder, God of amazing love, we give you thanks for the encounter of Christ between Thomas, and we give you thanks for the way that you meet us in our lives as well. Open our hearts to receive, our eyes to see, and our spirits to be willing. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
We cannot walk it by myself. Oh, Jesus, my Lord, will walk beside me. I cannot walk it by myself.
God's people said, thank you, gentlemen. That was absolutely wonderful. As we enter a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to the two beautiful prayer quilts we have. One is for Susan and one is for Herb. On your way out of the sanctuary, please stop at the table, tie a knot, say a prayer, and sign the card and let them know that we're surrounding them with our prayers and our love. Now, if you would, oh, I forgot. God is good.
All the time.
This happens when you get my, you forget things. Good and gracious God, we come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks, to feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. In our times of doubt and confusion, like Thomas, we know that when we turn to you, we find peace, hope, love, and strength. We try to be amongst those that believe, even though we don't see. We give praise to you and thanks to those that teach us, those that help us to learn to live as Jesus lived, to remember those that are struggling and wrestling looking for help, those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, those that are struggling with health issues, those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling with financial burdens. We want to help them to understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. We thank you for your blessings on those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We pray for our quilt recipients, Susan and Herb, and pray that as they receive these quilts, they feel the warmth of the quilts as well as the love of the prayers we say for them today. We pray that they have the strength they need to get through the times and situations ahead. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. We want to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it, especially those that need your love the most, the ones that don't know your love yet, the ones that don't know yet that your love is there for them, the ones that don't know yet that they need you. Father, we know your blessings and guidance are there for all in need across the nation and across the world that have suffered due to natural disasters and to conflicts going on across the world. Blessings for our leaders that give them guidance, that the decisions they make be tempered with your love, that the strength you give them will help them to make the decisions that will give us hope. Guide them with your mercies, that your love may fill their hearts, that your love may be shown through them. Now we ask for your mercies as we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you with our prayers and concerns, as well as our prayers of praise of you in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Don't forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Christ invites us to this table, to dine, to eat, to break bread together, to share in communion. Christ invites us, whether we have our faith perfectly outlined and we have every single answer to every single question of life. I doubt there's very many people in the room in that situation, or those of us who also wrestle and wonder and have curiosities and are still learning and growing. Christ invites us all to this table to break bread, to receive the bread of life and the cup of grace. And so we come this morning knowing that and remembering that when Jesus gathered with his 12 in the upper room on the night before he gave himself up for us, we remember that Jesus took bread and he gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat all of you, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me, the bread of life. And when the supper was over, Jesus then took a cup and again gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it and he said, Drink from this, all of you. This is the covenant of new beginnings. This is the cup of grace given for you. Drink this as often as you might in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these amazing acts in Jesus Christ, we respond, offering ourselves as living vessels of Christ, offering ourselves even in our imperfections, in our doubts, offering ourselves as God's hands and feet and voice and presence here on earth. To be doubting Thomas's walking among us, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. That Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one in Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All are welcome to receive communion this morning. It's not Christ's table, or it is Christ's table, not my table, your table. It's Christ's table, so it's open to all people. Whether this is the first time you come into the doors of a church or the first time you've been with us, you are welcome to receive. In our tradition, the ushers will invite you forward in a moment, and you'll come forward, and at the serving station, you'll receive a small piece of bread. We also have gluten-free elements that will be at the center aisle. The two regular bread stations will be on the sides there. You'll receive a piece of bread, and you can go ahead and eat it, and then you'll also receive a small cup of grape juice. Go ahead and drink that. You'll come forward being served from the front to the back. You'll come forward through these side angled aisles and receive. And then as you come through the center aisle to return, you're going to notice two baskets there where you can place your cup and make your way. After you've received communion, if you are interested, Pastor John and I will be in the back of the space there, willing and happy to pray with you. If you have individual concerns on your hearts, Pastor John and I would like to pray with you. All are welcome as the ushers invite you to receive. The
communion servers, please come forward. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive today's offering. Especially want to remember today as we're thinking of the doubters, those who doubt that they have gifts to give, please know that God has gifted everyone in this congregation, and we appreciate every gift that is given, whether it's your financial support, your prayers, your time, your talents. Please know that all are welcome here.
Jesus, we thank you for your presence in our lives. In gratitude, we bring our offerings. Use them to grow disciples, to be witnesses of your good grace. Amen.
May we leave this time of worship knowing that the love of God is always with us. Go forth with the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Doubter, firm believer, and everyone in between, we're on a journey of faith. May we go seeking to walk in the way of Christ. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.